people, tell them how good it is to see them. And you can be seated. Amen. Open up your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, you can lift up your hand. And our happy ushers will be in the aisles right now with those Bibles. If you don't have a Bible at all, that one is now yours to keep. 2 Corinthians. Last week, and for the past couple of Sundays, we've been talking along the lines of vision. And we want to pick up where we left off last week. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's look here in verse 18. Now, I want to encourage you, a lot of times, you know, when we're reading scriptures or people are preaching, the words can sound good, but if we're not careful, they can go right by us. And what I desire for all of us to get is what this scripture is talking about. And we'll talk about that in a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Let's read this verse again and look at the words we looked at last week. "But we all with open face beholding." This word beholding doesn't mean a glance. It means to stare, to have your eyes fixed on something. Really, it's a stronger term even than that. It gives the sense of it's unshakable. That what you're beholding, no matter what comes in your life, it's not going to shake you from not looking at it. You're going to behold it. And notice, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Notice this next phrase. Are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Well, notice that what you're beholding, you're changed into the same image. That if you fix the eyes of faith on something, and no matter what happens in your life, you keep those eyes of faith locked on that image, your life will be changed into the same image. What you become, it's a result of what you've been beholding. If you behold it long enough, you will become it. Now, this subject of vision, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, it is a subject that has changed my life. In the back room, right before I walked out, my guys were back there, Ray and David. And, you know, we exchanged some words, and the words that were exchanged, they really meant the world to me. And I was just thinking, when I was walking out, how blessed I am. See, it wasn't but 10 years ago. I was a scared boy. I mean, my life was in a just complete disarray. Everything was failing. Nothing was working. And in the middle of all of that, the Lord began speaking to my heart. And He told me to do some things. But one of the things He told me to do was to think increase and not survival. You see, typically when things are going bad, it's easy to let your mind just focus on the problem. Even in a good way, the problem's there and you're thinking about how can I fix the problem. And oftentimes that leads to survival. What can I do to survive? And that's a trap. It's a trap of the enemy. Because if he can get you focused on the problem, then according to this scripture, your life is going to be changed into more problems. What you behold, you become. And so the Lord began to tell me to think increase and not survival. And so what you see here today, what you're sitting in, What you fellowshipped in the cafe, what you walked when you took your kids to children's church. That was vision. That was nothing but an image that was in my mind years and years and years ago. I saw it. The Lord forced me and put me in a position to where I had to think or just swim and try to make it on my own, just drown. And He forced me to see increase. And I began seeing multiple services. I began seeing this facility. And friend, this scripture is a living reality to me right now. I'm seeing people here, and this is our second service, and it's Memorial Day, and there should be a lot of people out of town, but the place is full. I'm seeing it. And it's because of what I saw years ago in a place of absolute woundedness and brokenness because of what life did to me. I lifted up my eyes from that place and saw this. And now my life has been transformed into the same image I saw all the way back then. Friends, I'm telling you, there are no limits for you. I don't care what your education is or isn't, what your background is or isn't, how bad things are right now or how good they are. There are no limits for you. If you, in the place where you are at, will lift up your eyes and see life as it could be, see the next level, you can be transformed into that same image. We saw it last week with Lot. He set his tent toward Sodom and Gomorrah. He looked at it every day and eventually found himself in what he beheld. We saw Abraham completely in a situation that didn't look like in the natural. It could turn around. Him and his wife being able to have a child. But through the principles of vision, God telling him, look up at the stars, look up at the sand. Telling him to do those things. Putting an image in his mind that he could behold. Like we said last week, why did God pick the stars and pick the sand? Those would be images that Abram could not get away from. He'd have to behold them every day. And every time he saw them, he would remember the promise of God. And what was impossible completely turned around and not only became possible, but became a living reality. Why? Vision. He became what he beheld. And friend, I'm telling you, in your life and in mine, God is trying to impart vision to us. Because the only way for Him to change our life is for Him to change what we are beholding. If we can't see it, we'll never get in it. And so if you want to see a different you or a different marriage or a different life, if you want to see more increase, you've got to begin seeing those things right now. You've got to see it the way it could be and not the way that it is. Faith doesn't walk by sight. It looks to the things that are eternal. So I encourage you, I think this is our last message on this subject of vision. No matter where you find yourself at right now, I know for me, as I said in the first message of this series, I'm at a place where what I was envisioning 10 years ago, I'm now walking in. And the Lord is dealing with me now. This is not as good as it gets. Lift up your eyes from this place and start seeing the next level. And maybe you find yourself there now. Things in life are good. Friend, that's not as good as it gets. God wants to take you from glory to glory, from faith to faith. But He's got to get you to see it. Until you see it, He can't ever take you there. Or maybe you find yourself where I was 10 years ago, broken and wounded, hurting. Problems all around you. You can't focus on those things. How do you know if you are? There's a negativity about you. If you'll focus on seeing the next level, on lifting up your eyes from that place, even in the middle of heartache and pain, life quickens your spirit. And there's a sense of joy and a sense of peace because you know you're not staying where you're at. You know this is not how the story ends. This chapter will close and God can write a new one. But you got to see it. I so look at my life now and see how just a new chapter has turned. But that chapter never would have come. This, what you're sitting in now, would not be here unless I believe 2 Corinthians 3:18. Unless I saw it, I had to see it. And then my life was transformed into the same image that I saw. See, friends, in your life and in mine, no matter what level you're on, God is always trying to get you to lift up your eyes from the place where you are at. He's trying to impart vision unto you. In fact, let's go over and look at a scripture in John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 13. And if you can, put that for me up in the Amplified. John 16 and verse 13. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. And in John chapter 16 and verse 13, he tells us something about his ministry, the Holy Spirit's ministry. And he says in John 16 and verse 13, howbeit when he being the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth is come, he came on the day of Pentecost, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Notice this. And he will show you things to come. Now notice, he will do it. Not he might do it. Not he may do it. Not if you're good enough, then maybe he will. No, he will. This means that in your life, he already has. He will show you things to come. Why? This word show, notice if you have a King James, it's with an E and not an O. It doesn't mean to show you a vision or a dream per se. It's to speak, to tell, to announce. The actual translation of it means to rehearse. Notice in the Amplified, it brings some of this out. It says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth, the whole full truth. He will not speak his own message of his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him. Notice, and he will, not he might, not he may, he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. Why? Why would he tell you those things? He's given you vision. See, the Holy Spirit speaks in vision and dream. When he speaks to your heart, it's to establish a vision in you. It's to show you things to come, not just so you can see it, but so you can see it. What he shows you, that is to become your vision. And all throughout life, I even heard Brother Hagin say, long before he ever knew he was supposed to be in ministry, just as a little child, 2 and 3 years old, people would come over and ask his brother what he wanted to be when he grew up. And his brother was several years older. He said, I'm going to be a cowboy. I'm going to have a cowboy hat, and I'm going to wear cowboy boots. And he said, sure enough, his brother Dub was a cowboy. He was a truck driver, and he wore cowboy boots and a cowboy hat his entire life. But he said he was just young, and so no one bothered to ask him at 2 or 3 what he wanted to be when he grew up. But he said he would speak up and say, I'll be a preacher. And he said he'd go out into the field just as a boy and preach to cabbage heads. He said, sometimes I feel like I'm preaching to cabbage heads even till today. He said, a cabbage head never changes their expression. But he said, just as a little child, he wanted to be a preacher. It was ingrained in him. Well, what is that? His spirit's sensitive to God. See, little children are more sensitive than you think. Sensitive to the Lord. I heard a story, Brother Hagin told it. A guy was out traveling and he was renting an airplane. And he was going to get on this little private plane to fly out to go preach at another place. And so the plane was leaving out real early where they'd make it to their destination on time. And so the mother and the father, who was a preacher, got in the car and put the little boy in the back seat. And he fell asleep on the back seat bench. And they were saying their goodbyes and they didn't want to wake up the boy. And so his father went out to get on the plane. And the father got on the plane, this little private plane, and they were taken off. And the boy woke up right in the middle of it. I think he was like five or so. Woke up and saw the plane flying off. And he said, "Mama, Mama, Daddy's not on that plane, is he?" And she said, "Yeah, he is. He's going off." He said, "Doesn't he know that it's going to crash into that mountain?" And sure enough, it crashed into the mountain. Well, how did he know that? How did he know it? An almost an equally important question. Why didn't the minister know it? Well, we're going to talk about these things in our Wednesday night series. Our heart can be hardened to the Lord. It can be hardened to Him. But see, as a child, they're sensitive to spiritual things. And his spirit was sensitive to it. And so even as a child, he saw things. He knew things. Well, I'm sure some of that is true with you, but even if you can't remember what you said you were going to be when you grew up as a child, that's not as important as there are things in your life and in mine that God will drop into your heart. It often comes as a flash. I'm not talking about a vision or a dream per se. I'm talking about you're walking by a house and in a flash, it seems like, man, that should be my house. I've had that when we walked into our house that we're living in now, me and my wife. As soon as I walked into the front door, I knew this is where God wants me. I mean, I immediately knew it. There are things like that that happen. And the Lord is trying to get those things over to us because He doesn't want us just beholding anything. We saw last week with Lot the dangers of beholding the wrong things. See, the Lord doesn't want you beholding just anything. He's got a destiny for your life. You are not here by accident. He prearranged and preordained you to be here on this earth for such a time as this, doing something in it. And He sent His Holy Spirit to be the author of vision. See, God is the author and finisher of our faith. He's not obligated to finish anything He didn't author, anything He didn't start. So the Holy Spirit comes to start, to quicken in us a vision of what life could be like. Well, why does He do it? Because you can't be it unless you behold it. So He's got to put it in your heart in order to transform your life into something else. That's why having a negative self-image of yourself is so dangerous. Because as long as you see yourself that way, you can't be anything else. You become what you behold. So the Lord will quicken to us things. I'm reading a book presently. I'm halfway through it, and it's one of the best books I have ever read. I'm making my staff, they're all going to read it. I'm making it available in the bookstore. It should be here in a couple of days. But it's a book by Ronard Bunke, and it's an autobiography of his life. And it's amazing. Oh, my heart just melts when I read it. Because I've been looking for someone who, I've never met the man, but just if he's anything like the book is saying, I mean, it's a purity there of what a minister should look like. And anyway, I'm reading this, and man, it reads so well. And now, today, Ronard Bunke is ministering to hundreds of thousands of people. He's an evangelist over in Africa. And I mean, in one meeting alone, he won 1 million people to the Lord. In one meeting alone. Can you imagine 1 million people in a place making a decision for Christ? Well, he saw it with his natural eyes. He's seen hundreds of thousands come to the Lord in one day and then the next day go into a different town and see the exact same thing. Well, why is he able to be that today? Somewhere in his past, he had to behold it. See, he's not just doing that because God's called him to do it. No, he can't become that until he beholds it. So he had to behold it sometime in his past. And I saw immediately in reading the book this principle, God showing people things to come in motion. See, when he first started preaching, he didn't preach to hundreds of thousands of people. He had to do a little internship in a pastorate, and they sent him out into a place when he was 22, 23 years old to go start a church. There wasn't a church there. And so that was right up his alley. He was an evangelist. And so he decided in order to start a church, we got to get some people to come to church. So he rented out a little tent on the outskirts of town, set up a little tent out in a field to hold an evangelistic meeting to start a church with. Well, he was out there, and this was back in, I think, the 1950s. And right next to him, a couple of days later, came in a big circus. Now, he was Pentecost to the bone, out of the holiness movement. So they thought the circus was of the devil. I mean, anything that could be that much fun can't be God. And so this circus came in, and he just thought, man, the devil's trying to take all the people away from the evangelistic meetings and take them over into the circus. And the tent that this circus was in, I mean, completely dwarfed his tent. He had never seen anything like it, where that many people could sit in one place and watch something. Well, this wasn't the enemy's work. It was God trying to instill in him vision. See, a couple of days later, the guy who owned the circus came over to Mr. Bunky and told him, why don't you come over on Sunday morning? And while these people are expecting to see a circus, get up and preach to them. And so he got there early, before anyone else was there. He walked in that big tent that set hundreds of people, completely dwarfed his little tent, saw the big beams that held it up, saw the seats, and like a flash in his heart, he knew that one day he could preach to people that would fill up a tent, that would come to hear the Lord, and not just to see a circus. Well, why did the Lord enable that to happen? It was the God trying to instill in him vision of what his life could be. It can't be it until he sees it. And he's sitting there and he's seeing all of this, and he sees in his heart, one day I'll preach to people in a tent this big. Well, he got to that level. Then he had to see the next level. Now he's preaching, no tent in the world would be big enough to hold all the people he's preaching to. But see, his life didn't just evolve into winning 1 million people to the Lord overnight. It was a series of evolving, going from glory to glory. But the way you get to the next level of glory is you've got to behold that level long before you ever walk in it. I know for me, as a young boy, I think I was 17 at the time, my father was a couple of months away from when he went home to be with the Lord. I think this was like in October or so of 2000 and 2001. In April, he went home to be with the Lord. I can remember sitting in service on the front row. I was watching my father preach. I'd seen him do it hundreds of times before. And I'm watching him. He was preaching on a ram and a jam. He was talking about Abraham, how God revealed unto Abraham how he was Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will see and provide. And even when it looks like there's no provision, God will have a ram and a jam. He will take care of you. Preaching from that story. And I remember the message so vividly, because as I was sitting there, I looked over and saw a man that I was working for at the time. Tears were coming down his cheeks. And I looked back at my father and saw he's not just preaching. The words that he was saying, they were cutting to the quick. They were life to that man. The words coming out of his mouth were burning in that man's heart. It was not just he was taking notes. It was the Lord inscribing some things on the heart of that man. That's when I pray, I say, Lord, make my tongue the pen of a ready writer. I don't want to just preach. I want my words to be words of life. It's because of that moment, sitting there on that pew with no thoughts of becoming a preacher. I saw my father do that. I saw his words become life to him. And when I saw that, immediately, like a flash in my heart, I knew I should do that. I'd never been drawn to it before, but just in an instance, the Lord showed me things to come. And one day I'd stand up in front of people, and by His grace, maybe my words could minister life. Well, why did the Lord do that? Why did I sense that? He's showing me things to come. I could never do it until I saw myself doing it. See, for the first several years of my pastorate, I was a struggling preacher. Why? I didn't see myself being able to do it. I just saw, I'll get up there and preach, but I didn't see my words cutting to the quick of people. I was what I was beholding, and until I changed that image of myself, my life couldn't change. What's the thing the Lord's speaking to your heart about? What flashes have you had lately? In your heart, the Lord will show you, tell you, put in your heart things to do, places to go. It could be a different change of life, or it could be to see yourself in a different light, or it could be any number of things. But what is in your heart? What has the Lord put there? See, many people, they never get over into what God's called them to. Many people never live in this life. They just exist. They just take up space, but they're not really savoring each minute of life. And the reason why it is they're not living. They're just existing, seeing each day and having no vision and savoring what life could be like. And it's not because they don't have a dream. It's simply because they're not beholding it. God's put it in our hearts, and He's put it there for us to hold on to. Remember, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, Timothy, war a good warfare with the prophecies that went out before you. God had spoken to Timothy some things what Timothy's life was going to look like. But Paul said it's not enough to have them spoken over you. If you don't take them and war a good warfare with them, they will never come to pass. He said not just that, but give yourself wholly to them. Meditate on it, that your profiting may appear unto all. What was he saying? Those things were spoken to you to give vision to you. And you got to war good warfare with them. Because friends, I'm telling you, I've been in a place where I had vision in my heart with seemingly everything breaking loose on every side. What was the enemy after? He was doing something to me, not just to do something to me, but to do something in me. He was after that vision. And there are times in your life and mine where we will be buffeted. If you read after Paul, you see he went through a lot of stuff. Buffeted. He used that word, buffeted with the Lord. I've been buffeted. Well, what is a buffeting? It is not just one big thing. It's a thing after a thing after a thing after a thing coming against you. Why is it doing that? Why is the enemy stirring up all of that? He's after something. He's after your vision. He doesn't want you accomplishing what the Lord's called you to do, because not only will it make your life great, but it will make a difference in the lives of others. He knows not only will it affect your destiny, but it'll affect the destiny of others. Could be your children, could be a neighbor, could be a relative, but He knows if He can rob that seed of vision from you, He can steal the next generation. He's after something. Buffeting. Coming against you, doing something to you for the sole purpose of doing something in you. So what must you do? What must I do? We've got to practice this principle of vision. We got to lift up our eyes from the place where we are at. We got to see life as what could be. Let me take you to one final scripture and we'll close with this. The book of Habakkuk. If you don't know where Habakkuk is, don't kid yourself. Go to the table of contents and look it up. Habakkuk chapter 2. And look here in verse 2. This is a common verse of scripture when teaching on vision. And I saw some things in it yesterday I'd never seen before. Well, I'd seen them, but they never made sense to me until yesterday. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2. It says in Habakkuk 2 and verse 2, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time." Notice this, an appointed time. There's a time for the vision. See, so many people are frustrated because they want things to happen ahead of time. There's an appointed time. Appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and lie not. Though it tarry, wait for it. Though it tarry. This word tarry means, it's the Greek word or the Hebrew word. I'm not even going to try to say it. It's spelled M-A-H-A-H-H. Not even going to attempt it. M-A-A-M-A-H-A-H-H. You have to get the tape. Anyway, it means to delay or hesitate. He says, though the vision delays or hesitates, meaning it's not happening as fast as you want it to. Though that happens, wait for it. This word wait, it's awesome. You know what it means? It means to inscribe or engrave. It's not just talking about sitting back and waiting for it to happen. It means you're taking the vision and engraving it upon your heart to where you can't escape it. It's as much a part of you as anything. That vision is a part of you just like your hand's a part of you. You're seeing it every day. You're waiting for it with anticipation. And watch what he says here. He says, wait for it because it will surely come. It will not tarry. That never made sense to me. Because he says, though it tarry, wait for it because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Well, he just said it would tarry. Now he's saying it won't tarry. Which one is it? It's because this word tarry is a different word. See, they took the word Hebrew, the Hebrew words, and translated them over to English to try to make it make sense to us. Well, a lot of the words they used differently. Like for the word love in the Greek, there's the word phileo, which is the natural human kind of love, but agape is another type of love in the Greek that is the God kind of love. If you read it in the New Testament, you see the word love, but sometimes it means something entirely different from agape. But anyway, this word tarry, it's a different word than the word tarry before. The first word means to hesitate or delay. This next word, tarry, is the word achar, A-C-H-A-R, and it means be behind. It gives the implication of being behind schedule. Well, what does that mean? You got to go up to the verse before. There's an appointed time. The vision has an appointed time. Though it hesitates, don't give up on it. Wait for it. Inscribe it upon your heart because it will not be behind that schedule. He's saying it's coming. There's an appointed time for the vision. And don't grow frustrated trying to figure out when. You just keep it inscribed upon your heart until it does, because it will surely come to pass. It's not if. You got to hold on to it. For me, it was 10 years of holding on to this, but there was an appointed time, and it is sweet. This is my last closing. I'm closing my Bible. I was having a meeting the other day with a lady, and she was becoming a member of the church. And she told me that she was reading a book by a billionaire. She didn't give his name. But she said they asked the billionaire if he read any books that attributed to his success. And he said, I read one book every day, and I attribute the knowledge I've gained from it to the success I have in life. You know what the book was? The Tortoise and the Hare. A little kid book. You remember The Tortoise and the Hare? The hare thought, I'll get it all right now. And then he ran, got tired and fell asleep, trying to get it fast. But the tortoise was a different creature. He just made consistent progress every day. Every day, make a little progress here. Every day, inch towards it here. Minute after minute, hour by hour, making steady progress. That is vision in a nutshell. It is writing the vision, making it plain, inscribing it, engraving it on your heart, knowing there's an appointed time for it to come to pass. And though it tarries, I'm going to keep waiting on it, keep looking at that vision, because God will surely bring it to pass. I want to encourage you. This would not be here today. What I'm enjoying today would not be here unless I did exactly what I just told you to do. My life is sweet today. And I don't say that in a braggadocious way. I say it to say it's because the vision came to pass. Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. But you got to hold on to it. And in the middle of a storm, you got to hold on to it. And know, though it tarries, though it looks like it's hesitating, though it looks like it's being delayed, it will come to pass. The storm, it'll pass, but the vision will come to pass every time. Though it tarry, wait for it. Every head bowed, every eye closed.